Chapter 1. The Initiation. The leather whip warmed beneath my fingers like a living thing, no longer a foreign object, but an extension of my will. I traced its braided length across my palm, savoring how the pain receptors in my skin awakened, each nerve ending coming alive beneath the pressure. This sensation anchored me in the moment of transformation as I awaited my first official client. "Remember," Isolde murmured from the doorway, her voice like aged Bordeaux, "he's paying for authenticity, not performance. Your accent, your expressions, these are your weapons." I nodded, the black leather bodice creaking softly as I breathed, its boning pressed against my ribs like possessive fingers, transforming my curves into weapons that no man's gaze could withstand. The corset's calculated restriction of my breathing created a hypersensitivity to my own body that would serve me well tonight, each shallow inhalation reminding me of the power exchange about to unfold. The amber lights of Club Obsidian's private chamber cast my skin in honey gold, highlighting the curves that my grandmother always said were my birthright from generations of strong women. "Built to endure and dominate," she'd say with a wink. If only she could see me now, using that strength in ways she never imagined I would take so literally. "He's here," Calixte announced, slipping into the preparation room like smoke. Her eyes held something I hadn't seen before, concern mixed with excitement. "And he's difficult, very drunk, very handsome. The tabloid reputation seems accurate." My stomach fluttered with a familiar tightness, like lightning about to strike, anticipation trickling down to places I once foolishly reserved for love, now claimed for a purpose more honest and pure. Warmth spread through me like wildfire, settling heavy and insistent between my thighs, my body answering the call of power I was about to wield in ways that had shocked even Isolde during my training. My flesh knew secrets, my mind was only beginning to grasp. This wasn't just work, this was awakening, this wasn't a training session, this was real, my first official client. "Send him in," I said, surprising myself with the calm authority in my voice. The heavy mahogany door swung open with enough force to rattle the hinges, and Etienne Laroche stumbled through as if he'd been pushed. "Putain de merde," he muttered, steadying himself against the doorframe before raising his gaze to mine. 27 years old, dark hair artfully tousled, eyes the precise blue of a flame's hottest core, face carved by gods who clearly played favorites. The heir to Chateau Laroche, France's most prestigious vineyard, worth upwards of 500 million euros and featured in tabloids weekly with a different model on his arm. His Balmain jacket probably cost more than most people's monthly rent, carelessly unbuttoned over a tight black t-shirt that showcased a body maintained by the best trainers money could buy. The scent of him reached me before he did, expensive cologne barely masking the earthy notes of very good whiskey and the musk of a man who'd spent the day in designer clothes. Something animal stirred in me at that scent, something that recognized the possibilities even before my conscious mind had fully processed them. "C'est une blague?" he laughed, eyes raking over me with the casual entitlement of someone who had never been denied anything. "This southern housewife is what my 5,000 euros gets me? I expected someone more." His tongue darted out to wet his lower lip. "Formidable." The insult slid over me like warm honey, sweet in its transparency. I felt something deep in my core shift. The southern belle I'd been raised to be would have smiled sweetly while plotting revenge. The dominatrix I was becoming had more direct methods. "Remove your jacket, Etienne," I said, letting my Savannah drawl stretch his name into something that belonged to me. "And if I don't want to?" His smirk was practiced, camera ready, designed to make women accommodate rather than challenge. I approached him with measured steps, my stiletto heels clicking against the hardwood floor with the precision of a metronome. Each step closer sent a thrill through me. I could see his pupils dilate despite his affected boredom, could see the pulse quicken at his throat. You misunderstand, I replied, my voice dropping to a register that made his smirk falter. That wasn't a request. The challenge in his eyes sparked something primal in me. This wasn't the reverent submission of a practiced submissive. This was raw, untamed, masculine energy that would need to be broken before it could be directed. My skin prickled with awareness, nipples tightening against the leather of my bodice. Do you know who I am? He asked, chin lifting in aristocratic disdain. I was close enough now that I could feel the heat radiating from his body, close enough that my perfume, jasmine with subtle vanilla undertones, would be filling his nostrils, working its way past his conscious defenses. I know exactly who you are. I reached up, my fingers brushing his cheek in a touch so light it might have been imagined. The question is, do you? His breathing changed, just slightly. A deeper draw of air. A longer exhale. My touch had landed more effectively than he wanted to admit. Everyone knows who I am, he said, the words carrying less conviction than before. They know what you let them see, I countered, beginning a slow circle around him. My fingertips trailed across his shoulder, down his arm, a continuous point of contact that left goosebumps in their wake. The tabloid prints, the vineyard air, the perpetual disappointment to your father. That struck a nerve. His jaw tightened, a muscle jumping beneath smooth skin. You don't know anything about my father? I know men like him, I said, completing my circle to stand before him again. Men who build empires and expect their sons to be worthy of them. I leaned closer, my lips near enough to his ear that my breath would caress the sensitive skin there. Are you worthy, Etienne? Va te faire foutre, he spat, but the tremor in his voice betrayed him. My hand connected with his face before either of us registered the movement. Not hard enough to leave a mark, but enough to shock. The crack of skin on skin seemed to freeze time for a heartbeat. His eyes widened, hand rising to his cheek in disbelief. No one had ever dared. Heat surged through me, a molten wave of power that made my sex clench with unexpected hunger. I hadn't anticipated how good it would feel to be the first person to challenge this beautiful, broken man. That's your only free one, I said calmly, though my heart hammered against my ribs. The next time you disrespect me, the punishment will be more creative. The atmosphere in the room changed, electricity crackling between us. His pupils dilated further, a flush spreading across his cheeks that had nothing to do with the slap or the alcohol in his system. Take off your jacket, I repeated, my voice honey slow but iron firm. This time he complied, shrugging out of the expensive garment with deliberate slowness, his eyes never leaving mine. Challenge still burned there, but something else had joined it. Curiosity, perhaps. Or hunger. Your shoes next, I instructed. And if I refuse? His tone suggested it wasn't a genuine question, but another test of boundaries, another push to see where my limits lay. I smiled, the expression not reaching my eyes. Then our session ends, you leave unsatisfied, and the 5,000 euros is still mine. I stepped closer, invading his personal space until our bodies were almost touching. But we both know you're not going to refuse. He held my gaze for a long moment, measuring me, reassessing me. I could almost see the calculations behind those beautiful eyes, the weighing of pride against desire, of habit against hunger. Finally, he bent to remove his handcrafted Italian loafers, the movement bringing him lower than me for the first time. The position created a delicious tableau, this arrogant man lowering himself before me, and I felt my body respond with a rush of dampness between my thighs. On your knees, I said when he straightened. His laugh was sharp with disbelief. Absolutely not. I stepped closer, close enough that my breasts nearly brushed against his chest with each breath. Your reputation says otherwise, Etienne. I ran my fingers up his arm, over his shoulder, until they rested lightly against his throat. All those women, all those clubs, all those headlines. You're looking for something, something you haven't found with any of your supermodel conquests or cocaine-fueled parties. His breathing had changed, becoming deeper, more ragged. I could see the pulse hammering in his throat beneath my fingertips. "You want to surrender," I continued, my voice dropping to a near whisper that forced him to lean slightly forward to hear me. "But you need someone strong enough to take that control from you. Someone who won't be impressed by your name or your money or your pretty face." "And that's you?" His voice aimed for sarcasm, but landed somewhere closer to genuine question. I could smell the whiskey on his breath, feel the heat of it against my lips. "Kneel," I said simply, "and find out." The moment stretched between us, taut as a tripwire. Then, with a grace that belied his earlier stumbling, he sank to his knees before me. The sight sent a surge of power through me, electric and intoxicating. This man, who commanded attention everywhere he went, whose face graced magazines and whose exploits filled gossip columns, was on his knees at my command. My sex pulsed with approval, flesh growing slick with arousal that had nothing to do with attraction and everything to do with power. "Now we can begin," I said, moving to the table where various implements were arranged. I selected a blindfold of black silk. "Close your eyes." "I'd rather see what you're doing," he countered, that defiance flaring again. His hand moved to his crotch, adjusting himself with bold lack of subtlety. "Especially if you're going to make this worth the money." I turned to face him, the blindfold dangling from my fingers. "This isn't about what you want. It's about what you need." I approached, standing over him, letting him feel the dominance of my position. "And right now, you need to surrender that control you cling to so desperately." Something in my tone must have reached him, because after a moment of resistance, his eyes closed. I moved behind him, settling the silk over his eyes and tying it securely. The fabric caught slightly on his long lashes, and I found myself fascinated by that small detail. The femininity of those lashes against his otherwise masculine features. "Stand," I instructed, my hands on his shoulders guiding him upward. The heat of him seeped through his expensive t-shirt, his muscles tense beneath my fingers. I led him to the center of the room, to the wooden X-frame that dominated the space, arms up. This time he hesitated longer. "You do," I interrupted, my voice gentle but allowing no argument. "That's why you're here." Slowly, he raised his arms. I secured his wrists with leather cuffs lined with soft rabbit fur, comfort within constraint. The skin-on-skin contact as I fastened the restraint sent visible tremors through his body. His breathing had quickened, chest rising and falling in a rhythm that betrayed his growing arousal, despite his attempts to maintain detachment. "Spread your legs," I instructed, moving to secure his ankles in a similar fashion. He complied with less resistance this time, his body beginning to accept what his mind still fought against. When he was fully secured to the frame, I stepped back to admire my handiwork. Even blindfolded and restrained, he maintained a certain defiant beauty. Chin lifted, shoulders squared, body tense with anticipation and wariness. I selected a suede flogger, the falls soft enough for a first-time client but substantial enough to make an impression. Without warning, I dragged it across his shoulders, letting him feel the weight of it. "Qu'est-ce que c'est?" he demanded, his voice higher than before. "Shh," I soothed, letting the falls trail down his spine. "Focus on the sensation, not the tool." I flicked it lightly against his lower back, earning a startled gasp. "The trick with a flogger," I explained, striking slightly harder across his shoulders, "is finding the perfect balance between pleasure and pain." His breathing quickened, his body responding to the stimulation despite his attempts to remain detached. "I'm not into pain." "Everyone's into pain in the right context," I countered, landing another careful strike. "Pain cuts through the noise, silences the constant chatter in your head, frees you from having to be Etienne LaRoche for a few blessed moments." A shudder ran through him at my words, suggesting they had landed more accurately than than the flogger. I continued working, each stroke calculated to build sensation gradually, learning his body's language with every response. After several minutes, I noticed a change. His resistance was melting, the tension in his shoulders giving way to a different kind of tautness. His breathing had deepened, and occasional moans escaped lips that had been pressed firmly together when we began. The outline of his erection strained against his expensive jeans, a physical confession his pride would never allow him to voice. I placed the flogger aside and moved closer, not quite touching him. "Tell me what you feel," I instructed, my voice low. "I don't know," he admitted, the words seeming to surprise him as much as me. "Try," I encouraged, letting my fingernails trail lightly down his spine. He shivered at the touch. "Alive," he whispered, the word carrying unexpected vulnerability. I moved my hand to his front, tracing the definition of his abdomen through his shirt. His muscles jumped beneath my touch, hips instinctively pushing forward, seeking more contact. "And what do you want?" I asked, my fingers deliberately avoiding the straining bulge in his pants. "More," he admitted, the single syllable sounding like surrender. I circled to face him, though he couldn't see me through the blindfold. "What you're feeling," I explained, "is the beginning of submission, the relief of someone else taking control. No decisions to make, no image to maintain, no expectations to meet." A sound escaped him, half protest, half acknowledgement. "Tell me you want me to continue," I demanded softly. His jaw worked, pride battling desire. "Please," he finally said, the word dropping from his lips like a stone, heavy with concession. "Please, what?" I pressed, my hand hovering just above the evidence of his arousal, close enough that he could feel my heat, but not the touch he craved. "Please continue," he managed, his French accent thickening with desire. "Savannah." The sound of my name on his lips, wrapped in that accent and laden with need, sent a thrill through me that I hadn't expected. My own body was responding to his surrender, nipples hard against the leather that contained them, a slick heat building between my thighs that had nothing to do with physical attraction and everything to do with the power I wielded. I reached for his t-shirt, lifting it slowly to expose his toned abdomen. "I think we need to level the playing field a bit," I murmured, sliding the fabric upward until it bunched beneath his arms. "Your body should be as exposed as your pride." He didn't resist as I maneuvered the shirt up and over his restrained arms, leaving it hanging from the frame above him. His chest was a masterpiece of definition, not the overly muscled bulk of someone who lived in a gym, but the lean strength of a man whose body was a natural extension of his active lifestyle. "Beautiful," I acknowledged, allowing genuine appreciation to color my tone. My fingertips traced the contours of his chest, circling one nipple with deliberate slowness. Even more impressive in person than in those paparazzi beach photos from Saint-Tropez. He sucked in a breath as my nail scraped lightly over the sensitive peak. "You've seen those?" "I've seen everything about you that's available to see," I replied, repeating the action on his other nipple and watching it harden in response. "Which is quite a lot, given your penchant for outdoor activities with minimal clothing." My hand traveled lower, tracing the line of dark hair that disappeared beneath his waistband. "The question is, what haven't I seen? What parts of Etienne Laroche are kept hidden from those hungry cameras and gossiping tongues?" His breathing had grown ragged, hips pushing forward instinctively as my fingers played along the edge of his jeans. "Nothing," he gasped. "I'm an open book." "Liar," I whispered, my lips close to his ear. "You're a fortress of secrets beneath that playboy facade, but I'm going to find every single one of them, Etienne. I'm going to crack you open and feast on what's inside." I unhooked his belt with deliberate slowness, the leather sliding through the loops with a sound that made him shiver. The button of his jeans followed, then the zipper, each tiny metallic click amplified in the quiet room. "What are you doing?" he asked, voice tight with mingled apprehension and desire. "Exactly what you're paying me to do," I replied, easing his jeans down his hips to pool at his feet. He wore black boxer briefs beneath, the expensive fabric doing little to conceal his substantial arousal. "Discovering who you really are beneath all those layers of pretense." I selected a riding crop from the table, the leather tip a perfect instrument for the next phase of his education. Without warning, I flicked it lightly against his inner thigh, just hard enough to sting without marking. He jerked in his restraints, a startled sound escaping his throat. "Putain!" "Language," I admonished, delivering another light strike to his opposite thigh, although I suppose I should expect nothing less from a man whose vocabulary consists primarily of profanity and pickup lines. The crop traced a path up his thigh, over the tented fabric of his boxers, coming to rest just beneath his chin, lifting it slightly. "Tell me something true, Etienne. Something you've never told those vapid models or fawning journalists. Something real." His throat worked as he swallowed, the crop moving with the motion. "I don't know what you want from me." "That's better," I acknowledged. "Confusion is at least honest. And what I want..." I leaned closer, my breasts brushing against his chest for the first time, the contact sending electricity through both of us. "What I want is to strip away everything you think you are until we discover who you might become." I withdrew the crop, then brought it down with more force against his upper thigh, leaving a pink mark that would fade within minutes. His hips bucked involuntarily, a moan tearing from his throat that held as much pleasure as pain. "You see," I murmured, soothing the spot with my palm, "your body knows what it needs, even if your mind refuses to acknowledge it." For the next half hour, I worked his body systematically, alternating the sharp sting of the crop with the soothing touch of my hands, building a rhythm of pain and pleasure that gradually broke down his resistance. His moans became more frequent, his hips moving desperately, seeking friction that I deliberately withheld. When I finally ran my palm over the substantial bulge in his boxers, he cried out as if I'd struck him again, his body jerking in the restraints. "Please," he gasped, the word no longer a reluctant concession, but a desperate plea. "Seal to plate, Savannah." "Please what?" I asked, my voice innocent as I squeezed him lightly through the fabric. "Touch me," he begged, accent thick with need. "Properly, please." I hooked my fingers in the waistband of his boxers, easing them down with deliberate slowness. His cock sprang free, impressively hard, the head flushed dark with blood and already leaking evidence of his arousal. I took him in my gloved hand, the leather creating a friction that made him cry out again. "Is this what you want?" I asked, stroking him with a grip just shy of enough. "To be handled like this? Controlled like this? Owned like this?" "Yes," he gasped, hips bucking into my touch. We, c'est ça." I established a rhythm that kept him perpetually on edge, speeding up when his breathing suggested approaching climax, then slowing to a torturous pace that made him whimper with frustration. His composure had completely abandoned him, all that aristocratic disdain melted away to reveal the desperate, needy creature beneath. "Who owns this pleasure?" I demanded, my voice sharp with authority. "Who controls this body right now?" "You do," he gasped, head thrown back, throat exposed and vulnerable. "You do, Savannah. And who decides when you find release?" "You do," he repeated, the words dissolving into a moan as my thumb circled the sensitive head of his cock. "Mon Dieu, you do." "That's right," I confirmed, increasing my pace just enough to bring him to the very edge. "I decide everything now. Your pleasure, your pain, your release, all mine to give or withhold as I see fit." His body tensed, that telltale tightening that signaled imminent climax. I immediately removed my hand completely, leaving him gasping and desperate. "No, no, please," he begged, hips thrusting helplessly into empty air. "Seal to plate, j'étais si proche." "I know you were," I soothed, running my hands up his chest instead, pinching his nipples with just enough force to make him gasp. "That's the point, Etienne. You come when I decide, not a moment before. A knock at the door interrupted the moment. Calixte's voice came through, concern evident. Is everything all right? We heard distress. I glanced at Etienne, his body trembling with denied release, sweat glistening on his skin in the amber light. We're fine, I called back. Just a stubborn client learning his place. Very good, Mistress Savannah, came the reply, followed by retreating footsteps. I returned my attention to my beautiful, desperate captive. Now, where were we? I mused, trailing my fingers along his thigh, deliberately avoiding his straining erection. Ah, yes, you were learning the most valuable lesson a man like you could possibly learn. What's that? He managed, voice cracked with need. Patience, I replied, taking him in hand once more and beginning a torturously slow rhythm. The understanding that true pleasure comes not from immediate gratification, but from surrender to someone else's timeline. Three more times I brought him to the edge, each approach making him more desperate, more willing to beg, more completely surrendered to my control. By the fourth time he was sobbing with need, all pretense abandoned, all defiance dissolved. Please, Savannah, he pleaded, voice breaking. I can't take any more. Please let me come. I'll do anything. Anything? I echoed, increasing my pace just slightly, enough to make his breath catch. Yes, anything, he promised, hips moving in helpless rhythm with my hand. Regular sessions, double the fee, whatever you want. Just please, please let me finish. I smiled, though he couldn't see it through the blindfold. What I want, Etienne, is for you to remember this moment. To remember that beneath all that money and privilege and entitlement is a man who begged for release at my hand, a man who surrendered completely to my will, a man who discovered his true self in submission. I will, he gasped. I swear it. I'll remember. Then come for me, I commanded, my grip tightening, my pace increasing to exactly what he needed. Come for me now, Etienne. His release was explosive, his entire body convulsing in the restraints as he cried out, a sound of such complete surrender that it sent a surge of triumphant pleasure through my own body. Wave after wave crashed through him, each pulse drawing another broken sound from his throat. I worked him through every aftershock, gentling my touch as he became oversensitive, finally releasing him only when his body sagged completely in the restraints. For several moments, the only sound in the room was his ragged breathing gradually slowing to normal rhythm. I carefully cleaned him with warm, damp cloths I'd prepared earlier, then removed the blindfold, wanting to see his eyes in this moment of complete vulnerability. What I saw there stole my breath. None of the arrogance, none of the practiced charm, just raw, open wonder and something that looked surprisingly like gratitude. That was, he began, voice rough from his cries. I know, I said simply, beginning to release his restraints. When his arms were free, I supported him as he found his footing, his legs unsteady beneath him. Sit, I instructed, guiding him to a velvet chaise positioned strategically nearby. He obeyed without question, his earlier defiance completely absent. I poured water from a crystal decanter, pressing the glass into his hands. Drink. As he sipped, I moved behind him, my hands finding his shoulders, kneading the tension from muscles knotted from being restrained. He melted into the touch, head dropping forward to give me better access. What happens now? He asked, his voice still rough from crying out. Now we talk, I said, continuing my ministrations, about what you experienced, what you need, how to integrate this back into your life outside these walls. He was quiet for a moment, processing. And then you leave, I replied simply. Until our next session, if you choose to continue? He turned to look at me, something new in his expression. Respect, perhaps, where there had been only dismissal before. I will. The certainty in his voice warmed something in me, despite my professional detachment. This beautiful, broken man had completely transformed in our first session, shedding the arrogant facade to reveal someone far more interesting beneath. Mistress Savannah, he tested the title on his tongue, no mockery in it now. It suits you. I inclined my head, accepting the compliment. Rest a little longer, I suggested. Then we'll complete our session properly. As he leaned back on the chaise, eyes closed in momentary peace, I felt a surge of satisfaction unlike anything I'd experienced before. This power to break and rebuild, to dominate and nurture, was what I had been born for, though I'd never known it until Paris forced me to discover strengths I hadn't known I possessed. Mistress Savannah had arrived, and Etienne Laroche was just the beginning.